Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Get fired up for Spirit Fire Radio with your hosts, Dorothy Riddle and Steve Kramer. Get ready to shine the light on universal spiritual principles and uncover ways that ageless wisdom can guide you in cultivating consciousness in these modern times. Bring purpose to your life through practical spirituality and add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. Now, here are your hosts, Dorothy Riddle and Steve Kramer.
Hello, welcome to Spirit Fire Radio. My name is Steve Kramer, and I am joined by my delightful co-host, Dr. Dorothy Riddle. Hi, Dorothy.
Hi, Steve. Great to be here.
It's a pleasure to be with you once again and to continue our conversation on goodwill. Listeners, our entire month is dedicated to the concept of goodwill. And we are going to talk about goodwill towards all life. We ended the last episode, which was the challenges of goodwill. We were talking about sort of stretching our notions of what is goodwill. What are our sort of boundaries that we put in place toward what we, how do we express goodwill? And we were talking about the planet Earth. We were talking about the animal kingdom and all that we could and have the capacity to treat with goodwill. And so that's going to be our show. But before we get going, I'd love to talk a little bit about the goodwill that's in our everyday lives. Dorothy, you and I, we both are affiliated with educational nonprofits. And I know that much of our lives are dedicated to goodwill through those organizations. So personally, Spirit Fire, this is a collaboration between two nonprofits. Spirit Fire Radio is, that is, between Spirit Fire and School for Esoteric Studies. Spirit Fire is focused on awareness, on bringing awareness into your everyday life, on cultivating spirituality. And mainly we do that through the practice of living awareness, which is a meditation practice that was developed through Spirit Fire. And we offer free online meditation. We have a retreat center in Western Massachusetts and do much of our work out of that. And Dorothy, a little bit about the School for Esoteric Studies?
Yes, thank you, Steve. The School for Esoteric Studies provides discipleship training through study, meditation, and service. And our focus is on helping people develop a spiritual discipline that allows them to be of service in the world. And, of course, goodwill is a very important component of that. And I would just mention this is, we are in the month where the Festival of Goodwill, the Esoteric Festival of Goodwill is celebrated. And on our website, esotericstudies.net, we have a talk on goodwill. We have a number of goodwill talks going back over the years that we issue at this time of year.
Wonderful. And the website?
Esotericstudies.net.
Great. And for Spirit Fire, it is spiritfire.com. So listeners, let's move on to goodwill. Goodwill towards all life. So I know, you know, I moved from New York City to run the nonprofit at Spirit Fire and moved to the mountains and surrounded by nature. And soon after I arrived, there was talk of putting our land in conservancy. And I learned so much about the wildlife and all that the life that was just teeming and flourishing on our property. We have 95 acres, and we put much of it, as much as we possibly could, in conservancy to preserve to preserve nature as it's intended to be, and so much wildlife there. And much of our town and much of Western Massachusetts is in conservancy. So fine example of goodwill towards all life. And I just came to have such respect for the people who are working towards, land trusts and conservancies. And I really felt good. It felt like a wonderful move on our part. So I am now even taking a step further, Dorothy, through our conversations, really expanding my idea of the animals and the plants and the earth in my backyard and seeing them as persons. So I'd love for you to just dive right in and talk or tell our listeners about personhood, this concept of personhood beyond humans.
And the, you know, what you're referring to, Steve, is a very interesting progression that we are fortunately in many ways moving beyond seeing resources, whether it's the earth, whether it's plant life, animal life, as resources to be exploited by us, moving towards the idea of resources to be protected. And then the next step is to see those resources as persons that are beyond use. That is, they have their a right to dignity and respect in and of themselves, and not to be seen just in terms of how they are useful to us. And it really, I must admit, Steve, you know, I've done a lot of work in this area. My latest book, Moving Beyond Duality, has an Appendix B in it that at that time was a summary of all of the research that existed on non-human personhood, but even so, it can be challenging to shift attitudes. So let's just put some concepts out on the table. If we define personhood in a way that isn't attached to being human, in other words, it's not you're a person because you're human, then there are three characteristics that we want to keep in mind. And so when people talk about other species from the perspective of personhood, they're referring to these three. One is what's called agency, which is intelligence or, you know, the ability to think abstractly, to perform tasks. The second is warmth or empathy or complex social relationships. And the third is identity or self-awareness, that sense of being an individual with a rich inner life. And what is startling is the wide range of beings that exhibit all three of these characteristics, much more so than we might have thought. And I want to give a lot of examples of that, Steve, just to help our audience. But before we get into that, I want to tackle the issue of why personhood, why legal personhood matters. And just give an example, remind listeners that this is the whole issue around slavery, right? Was that slaves were viewed as being not persons. They were objects that were owned by their owners. And women have struggled with the same thing as being to be individuals in their own right as opposed to being owned by male relatives. And there are countries still where that is a very active issue. But one of the examples that that's given to illustrate the importance of this is a chimpanzee by the name of Matthew, who was kidnapped in Sierra Leone and taken to Austria by persons who placed him in a zoo. So he was the object belonging to the owners of this zoo. And there came a time several years ago when the zoo was being closed. And so then the issue was what was going to happen to the animals in the zoo. And the most expedient thing is just put them down. And a group of people said, no, we want to take care of Matthew. You know, we've come to know him, and we will raise money for his care, and we want him to be given into our care. And they demonstrated that they had the financial resources to do that or to pay for him being cared for someplace else. And what they ran into was it didn't matter if they had the money. Money could not be given to him because he was a thing. And he was a thing that belonged to the zoo owners. And this went right through the European courts. And they ruled that because he was a thing and not a person, that that nothing, there was no possibility of providing him with freedom into his old age. Mm. So that, Steve, is what this whole legal issue is about. That's why the term person and personhood becomes so important.
Yeah, and goodness, we talk so much about stretching boundaries. And it really is a stretch, right? We've grown up with sort of this word personhood. We associate that so readily with human beings, but you think of certainly even in this instance about agency, warmth, and identity. Certainly, chimpanzees have all three of those, and mm-hmm. you can imagine. Do you know what happened in the end?
I don't know the very last current step. I know that the legal appeals were not successful. Mm-hmm. And I know that there's, as far as I know, there's only one group that is successfully or with modest success moving these issues forward, and that is the Non-Human Rights Project in the United States. They have court cases on behalf of four chimpanzees, and I believe they're just starting a legal case on behalf of one elephant to try to get them ruled as persons and released from really very, cage conditions that none of us would like to be in.
Sure, it does make us think quite a bit about zoos, huh? And there's so many examples, and that's just one. There's so many examples of that.
Well, and then if you think, just to give you, one illustration, because, we tend to stereotype, we think of a chimp or we think of an orangutan or whatever, and we think of the animal, what we characterize as the animal attributes. There is this one, I believe he's actually a bonobo, called Kanzi. He has learned, now remember all of these animals, when we say that they speak English, that means that they've learned a second language. He's learned 3,000 words in English, a 3,000-word English vocabulary. He cooks, he plays music, he Skypes with other bonobos, he jokes, and he was interviewed by a newspaper reporter, and after the reporter got finished interviewing him and got back to his office, the phone rang, and it was Kanzi on Skype saying that he had a few more thoughts
he'd like to put forward. Oh my goodness.
About the interview. Now, see, we just don't think of that. And we have, with orangutans in particular, there's at least 12 zoos that have supplied them with iPads, and they're Skyping each other and, doing FaceTime. And, we have some very narrow prejudices that we have got to start questioning.
Well, you said something very interesting. We're going to go to a break, and when we come back, you talked about the second language, and that leads to a really wonderful clarification. So we'll go to a break and pick up this conversation when we get back.
Are you ready to thread your life with intuition? Intuit Apparel can help you do just that. This is not just about a piece of clothing. This is about a movement, an awakening, and staying centered in life. Your life. Intuitive and host of the radio show Get Into It, Lynn Brown, was given this image with the intention of a clothing line designed to represent the essence of life itself. Visit intuitapparel.com now and wear your intuition with pride.
Do you feel that there's a bigger, better life for you? Is there anything holding you back from living the life you were meant to live? If you'd like to find your life's true purpose and calling, join the world's foremost authority on primal spirituality, David Karsher, in Becoming a Sun Radio, emotional and spiritual intelligence for a happy, fulfilling life. Tune in once a month to Becoming a Sun Radio with David Karsher on the Dr. Pat Show and Transformation Talk Radio. For more information, visit davidkarsher.com today.
brand consultant Jen Morgan is here with Radically Distinct Radio to help you take control of your future and maximize your brand's power to produce results. Whether you're an individual trying to reinvent yourself and launch a new venture, or you're an executive trying to reposition your company to modernize your sales and marketing programs, Jen Morgan and the RAD Method empower you to play to your strengths and show up in the world as your most powerful brand. To learn more, go to jenmorgan.com. That's Jen with two N's, Morgan.com, or call 206-972-5366.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Curious about the meaning of life? Do you want to deepen your spiritual practice? The School for Esoteric Studies offers online training to spiritual seekers from all paths of life and individual coaching. Our courses synthesize Eastern and Western spiritual traditions based on meditation, study, and service applied to everyday life. The school also organizes group meditations each year to benefit humanity. Whether you're just beginning to reflect on the spiritual side of your life or are a more experienced spiritual seeker, the school warmly welcomes you to join our group. To learn more about our courses and services, please visit esotericstudies.net. That's esotericstudies.net.
Welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio. We are having a very engaging conversation, very interesting, talking about personhood. And the theme of this month is goodwill. And this episode of Spirit Fire Radio, we're talking about goodwill towards all life and how can we consider all living beings, all life. How can we extend goodwill? And we've been talking about personhood. So Dorothy, just before the break, you were talking about Kanzi, about a monkey. Is that the proper? You can call him a monkey.
Bonobo, yes. Uh-huh.
Yes, that he has learned 3,000 words and was having an interview and Skyped back to basically say had some more thoughts for the interviewer. One thing that I know I was a sort of an aha for me, as we have discussed this in the past, was I sort of felt like when we talk about animals gaining human traits or learning human traits, sort of learning to speak or learning to use an iPad or Skype even, and to cook, what have you, that in a sense, I thought, oh, are we doing them a disservice by sort of trying to make them human? And in the process of seeing them as persons, does that get in the way that we need to see them first as you know, the brilliance of their nature as great apes or monkeys, and that are we doing them a disservice? And in that you just mentioned that this is their second language, I wondered if you could clarify a little bit to listeners who might be thinking the same thing, because I had a certain aha within that.
Sure. So I'd like to give a couple of examples. The group of animals that are, that we identify as being the most intelligent, the most social, the most aware are cetaceans, dolphins and whales. And there was a story that circulated about a beluga whale held in captivity down in a lab in California. And the people that were working around this beluga suddenly realized that the beluga was speaking English. And now, if you think about, the way in which a beluga would have to form sound in order to bring it down to, our range and make the words, that's quite an accomplishment. And so there was kind of giggling about it, wasn't this funny? And this went on for 2 years, and then scientists reported that the beluga had stopped this activity. and that they assumed that the beluga had matured out of it. And to me, the issue was, this is the beluga was a very social animal, kept by itself, and the way that it tried to reach out for social companionship was to learn a second language, to learn the language of its human keepers. And for 2 years, it tried to talk to people, and nobody talked back to it. They giggled, you know, they pointed. Nobody talked back. So, yeah, it stopped talking.
It's not funny. I don't know why I'm laughing. I'm just laughing at actually how it's just so, it's like the numbskull of not speaking back to this animal in captivity, and to just sort of how separate you'd have to see that animal to sort of just laugh and point and walk away when this animal is actually speaking words to you.
That's right. Yeah. And another example, this is more recent. There was a newspaper article about an elephant in a Korean zoo that had figured out how to put its trunk in its mouth and to speak Korean. And so this is being lauded as an example that this is an intelligent being. But really, again, I think elephants are highly social animals, and we keep them in captivity, in isolation, in essence. And so what this elephant did was to teach itself a second language, again, so that it could reach out and make some kind of contact. And I find it painful that that it's taking us so long to understand that there are other ways of interacting with the world. Elephants are interesting in that the way that human scientists have tested self-awareness, they've used these mirror tests, and they found all these different animals that that were self-aware. But people were saying that elephants weren't self-aware until somebody realized that the mirrors that they were using were so small that all you were getting was like part of an ear, And when they made an 8-by-8-foot mirror, suddenly they could capture that self-aware behavior that they were testing for. Mm-hmm. So you raise an interesting point, Steve. It's like we, in order to understand it, we have to put it in a familiar context. And so we interpret other species behaviors through a human lens, but we need to remember that that is a filter that we have chosen.
Right. And that's the point I was getting at, that is really our choice. And hopefully that will lead us then to just come to an understanding of the profound intelligence. And as you say, the agency, the warmth, and the identity that these creatures have, and that we then can move toward speaking their language and learning about them through their language and their ways of communicating. And not that there's not plenty of humans who are doing that amazing work in that regard. But it does show that, there's just so much more to learn, right?
There is. And it's also, for example, with bears, people for a long time missed how intelligent they were because the eyesight is not their primary mode. They function more on smell. And so if you test a bear in the way that you would test a human, you don't pick up on what's happening. And so it's challenging because we have a relationship that has developed over thousands of years with these different animal species where we're used to using them as objects. We use them as food. And we're having to rethink that, right, in terms of who they are. And it's not just mammals. Mammals are probably the ones that we're most familiar with, but we've used terms like bird brain to be very derogatory, and yet many birds are highly intelligent. Crows, magpies, parrots, pigeons. So we're having to rethink that. Chickens are self-aware and much more intelligent than human toddlers. What are we doing eating them for dinner? It gets very challenging to try to to manage.
Right. Well,
our relationship
far beyond eating them for dinner, but I mean the way in which we factory farm chickens is just beyond reprehensible. I mean, it's at least just some basic dignity and freedom of, you know, just some basic comfort and care in terms of chickens, at the very least.
Yeah, and some people talk about moral rights, right? If you're a person, one of the things about being a person is that you have the right to be included within the circle of care, and you have the moral rights, the moral standing to be beyond use as an object. So if we think about this, I mentioned, you know, being treated with respect and dignity, being allowed to develop one's own personality within one's own community. That's one of the rights that we talk about. Another right is to be given just and favorable remuneration for work, as well as periods of rest and holidays. And yet, if we think about the way that we use animals for work, this doesn't get talked about that much. But for example, there are animals that are being used in facilities with persons with dementia or people that have mental illness. You know, the comfort of having an animal. Well, suppose the animal doesn't feel like being social that day. Do they have that choice?
Right. Right. And again, it comes down to awareness. You know, you've got to be able to see that animal as a person. Mm-hmm. and pay attention to signs and get to know them and get to know their language as well, mm-hmm. so that you can communicate with them. You can receive from them and not just telling them what to do, but receive from them more than just the signs and clues that you've given to train them in terms of service dogs, right?
Right.
Yeah, I look forward to, we're going to go to a break in a minute, and I look forward to talking more about the moral rights because, wow, does it ever get complex, right, Dorothy? It is really, really, it gets complicated to talk about this and to actually contemplate what this world would look like. But just before we go, a positive note, you know, in New York City, I have friends that work to ensure that the carriage horses are treated well. And in that case, it's interesting how that has unfolded over the years with a lot of controversy around New York carriage horses. And indeed, they are given vacations. They're given actual time off in the form of vacations. They are given time, off the carriages and on a farm in pastures. And they retire, and they retire well. So it's interesting that we are making progress. You know, I know there's been a lot of progress, at least in terms of the carriage horses. Plenty of people would like to see it gone, and there's lots more that could be done. But an interesting case of animals getting time off. You know, it's their vacation time.
Uh-huh.
So we're going to go to a break, Dorothy. When we come back, let's talk more about moral rights.
What is a brilliant culture, and how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough 5-step process to help you align your culture with your business strategy for exceptional results. Looking for a culture that drives organizational excellence? Listen to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the second and fourth Friday of each month at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit culturalbrilliance.com.
Thrive is what we experience when our mind, body, and soul operate as one. When we thrive, we excel on all levels. Thrive is the mindset that matters. It is essential to our being. Have you ever found yourself looking for the instruction manual on how to thrive? You'll find everything you need to help you feel strong, powerful, and peaceful in your own body. So don't waste any more time. Visit thrivebyjen.com today.
Hi, I'm Steve Kramer of Spirit Fire Radio, and I believe that meditation changes everything. It leads us in the direction of greater well-being, and that's a fact. I struggled with meditation for years. I understood the principles, but I found it hard to incorporate them into my everyday life.
Spirit Fire's meditation practice changed that. It's called the Practice of Living Awareness, and it's taught in 14 steps. These are 14 tools that I can use in any moment, on and off the cushion. Steps like smile, flow, and ground of being support my clarity of mind while I'm navigating the ups and downs of modern life. That's why it's called the Practice of Living Awareness. If you'd like to add meditation to your daily experience, the Practice of Living Awareness is free, online, and it's suited for any level of practitioner. Visit spiritfire.com for more information. And be sure to check out Spirit Fire's meditation retreats in Western Massachusetts. It's all there at spiritfire.com.
Get ready to experience Truth Talk Radio with host Deb Acker. Tune in to Truth Talk Radio each Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com to illuminate the truth in your daily life as you experience life, love, and abundance from a whole new perspective. This hit show will leave you feeling lighter and bring you into a place of infinite possibilities every day in every way. Visit TruthTalkRadioShow.com for upcoming transformative topics and guests.
Tune in to the hit show, Mouthing Off with Chef Rossi. Chef Rossi mouths off about different subjects in pursuit of breaking down walls and opening up your minds. She and Dr. Pat banter back and forth, taking from the headlines of the day on subjects that reach beyond what goes on in the world into your hearts. And go to theragingskillet.com to find out more and let Chef Rossi know what's on your mind.
Welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio. We are having a wonderful discussion about goodwill towards all life. And we were talking about rights of persons, extending rights that we all may take for granted and that we may not realize that living sentient beings have rights as well. Well, not only sentient, living all life on this planet has got certain rights to exist. And we were talking about positive rights, about being treated with dignity and respect. And you mentioned an interesting one, Dorothy, which was to develop one's own personality within one's own community. I'd love to hear just a sentence or two from you on how you see that being extended.
Well, this is the challenge with any kind of species that's put in captivity, because you take a single species, a single member of a species, whether it's a dolphin or it's a bear or it's a wolf or whatever, and you raise it essentially in isolation away from its community, how is it going to develop itself? And how is it going to learn? And I'd like to give you one example. There was a community in one of the African countries, I don't remember which one, they were having a terrible problem with young elephants that were tearing up all of the trees and basically just creating a mess. And they called in somebody who had studied elephants and had worked with elephants. And what the scientist said was, the problem was that the older elephants had all been killed off, and these young male elephants didn't have any role models. And so what he did was he introduced an older, or I don't know if it was one or two, older male elephants, which elephants are matriarchal, so it's the females that stay with the young. So he took, and the males tend to be more isolated, so he took one of them and brought him into this community, and this older elephant, just using our terminology, read the riot act to these young elephants, right? Just really knocked them around if they were not behaving properly, and in essence taught them how they were supposed to function in a group. I thought that was a fascinating story.
Very fascinating. And respect is big. I know you've done some research, right? Respect is really big amongst elephants.
And
taught
also
them respect.
Yeah, he taught them respect. And for anyone who hasn't heard the story of the elephant whisperer, I just want to share it with you briefly. This is a scientist who had worked with elephants had been brought in because there were two communities having difficulty with elephants that I think they were like two different groups of elephants that weren't necessarily getting along. I don't remember the details of what the issues were. But anyway, he lived with these elephants for a period of time. And he was living there. His wife and he, you know, had a home. And he died. And his wife reported that I think it took a week or maybe 10 days. Suddenly, this line of elephants, and it's actually on YouTube, you can see it. This line of elephants appeared through the bush, walking slowly. They came, they circled the house. They stood in silence without eating for 48 hours. And then they left. They were coming to honor him. How did they know that he had died? Why would they, you know, this was not random behavior. There's so much going on with other species that we are, that's invisible to us, that we just don't pay any attention to. And then it gets distorted when we take them out of their natural environment.
And that we could learn from, you know, that we could learn so much from them as well, you know. Yeah, we think we're there to train them. It seems like we could use some good training ourselves these days.
Yes. And before, I want to get into the negative rights also, Steve, but before we do that, I'd just like our listeners to understand some of the breadth of what we're talking about. Because when we talk about mammals, invertebrates, you know, we see they're close enough to us that we can kind of feel, yeah, they might be people. But there's also invertebrates. Octopus are very, very bright. Squid. There's controversy about lobsters, whether they recognize, they do cringe when they're put into hot water. Ants, bees, spiders. So there's a wide range of animals that we're talking about. Then we come to the plants. And this is fascinating. In fact, Switzerland has a Bill of Rights for plants. And there's a lot of work being done on plant neurobiology because plants communicate primarily chemically, and which is a modality that we don't use, so we miss a lot of what's going on. But they've demonstrated that most, if not all, plants are self-aware. They are highly social. They warn each other if there's danger. They enlist allies to help them. What Switzerland has done is to try to protect their right to develop without genetic modification, right? That they have the right to develop in their own way, which relates back to that positive right that you were mentioning, Steve.
Yeah. And so, even the studies that have done of them picking up on our emotions, that plants flourish in a happy house, and plants that are in a house full of anger and screaming and yelling and low vibration emotions don't do well. And in a sense, then, are you harming the plant? Indeed, you absolutely are. You have to be responsible for plants you've chosen to bring into your house.
And a key difference between plants and animals is that plants can't move on their own. At least most of them can't. And so they're held hostage. You know, you bring them into your home and they can't get up and walk out like a dog might be able to. So yes, we do need to be careful.
Yeah. It's so interesting, the language, right? Because when you said they can't move on their own, it took me just a second to wrap my head around it. One interesting thing about plants, boy, goodness, have I learned so much living on 95 acres, is to watch bittersweet, you know, which is an invasive, and, you know, that's kind of a negative term to put on this plant. It's just doing what it does. It's doing what it, you know, what its purpose is here on the earth. But it's amazing to watch this plant, how it will camouflage itself and it will change its leaves to look like the leaf of the plant that this vine is growing up, so that it becomes one with the plant that it is climbing. And amazing to watch the same plant within, you know, like a 100-yard radius, the same plant, but with completely different leaves. So interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So if we turn to some of the negative rites, we have the threat of unnatural death. Okay, so death before your time. And if you, I mean, I think about the environment that I live in, and people uproot trees, they, you know, pull up plants, they kill wildlife that where that is not coexisting the way they would like to with humans, you know, cougars or that kind of thing.
Right.
So where is the line, you know? And if we eat, we can't just say if we eat meat, if we eat plants, if we eat any living entity, what is our responsibility?
Right.
Where I've come to, Steve, is the native traditions that I've observed, where at the very least we need to give thanks.
Yes.
We need to recognize that another being has sacrificed themselves so that we can be nourished.
Right, because if we include the freedom from threat of unnatural death, that literally means we don't eat.
That's right.
But you're right. If you extend gratitude and you show some compassion in the way that you take that living being from the earth, then, you know, there is some reciprocation in a way.
Mm-hmm. And hopefully you don't waste it either. You know, this being, whether it's an animal or a plant, gave their life for you. So, you know, be respectful of that.
Yeah, I know. Growing up, listen, I just refused to hunt. Talk about worms. I couldn't put a worm on a hook. I would watch it squirm. I would feel its pain. I couldn't do it. And my family was very respectful of that. But my father and brother, they were big hunters. And my dad was a field biologist. And he would say, you know, the humans have taken away the land from the deer, and the deer will overpopulate. And in the winter, they will not have enough to eat, and they will freeze. And it is not a pleasant departure from this earth. And so that, you know, there is a balance, you know, he would comfort me in that.
Yeah.
There is a balance, and that if it is done out of respect and kindness, and we would eat the deer and all of that, that I came to accept it and understand it. Yeah.
Well, and the, I mean, we have that issue where I live. We have an overpopulation of deer because their natural predators have been killed off.
Yes.
And so that's an issue. They come into the yards, they eat up all of the vegetables that are being grown, that kind of thing.
And people curse them, but of course it's not their fault.
No, we're the ones that have disturbed the balance. Yeah.
Yes.
So are we going to a break, or do we have time for another one?
Well, let's go to a break, and then we'll come back, because they get really interesting, these, you know, considering these they really force us to ponder deeply, which is wonderful. So let's go to a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about moral rights of personhood.
Gifted intuitive healer and spiritual teacher Sarah Luce brings her unique style to the hit show Small Steps, Big Breakthrough Radio on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Tune in each month as Sarah turns reality on end and shows us how to experience expansive results with simple yet powerful steps. Expect an enlightening bend on what you currently believe is possible. For show details and upcoming topics, visit SarahLuce.com. That's SarahLuOS.com.
Awareness is universal. Establishing a living awareness through meditation brings peaceful, healthy, and creative well-being into your everyday life. The practice of living awareness, Spiritfire's own meditation practice, is built on this belief and is designed for every level of practitioner. Each year, Spiritfire hosts living awareness meditation retreats that allow you to explore the practice in depth at our retreat center in beautiful Western Massachusetts. Introduce yourself to meditation and the practice at the Foundation's Retreat. Attend, in silence, a silent meditation retreat focused on mindfulness, presence, and nature, or be engaged with the meditation sittings themselves at the Deepening Retreat. Start adding to your awareness and attend a meditation retreat designed to cultivate consciousness in your everyday life. For details on attending a Living Awareness meditation retreat, visit upcoming events at www.spiritfire.com.
Are you feeling stagnant or blocked in your love life, career, health, or finances? Experiencing difficulty focusing or setting and achieving goals? Tune in to Spiritual Diagnostics Radio with psychic visionary healers Carol Dorian and Justice Welling. Discover the cause and effect of unwanted patterns in life. Tune in every Tuesday at 12 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio. For more information, visit spiritualdeed.com.
Be you plus live your purpose equals joy. That's the motto of Unstuck Joy with Vicki Todd. Vicki believes you were born with gifts that are meant to make the world brighter. Each show will feature an art visioning journal prompt to help you create your way to soul clarity. If you're ready to get unstuck and create more joy, this show is for you. Tune in every month on Transformation Talk Radio. For more information, visit VickiWorldArt.com.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Welcome back. Just before the break, we were talking about moral rights, and we talked about the positive moral rights, and we're moving on to negative moral rights, which means allowing freedom from, correct, Dorothy? Like freedom from, we just talked about the threat of unnatural death. So some more negative moral rights, if we could continue that conversation.
Right. So let's take a look at slavery. You know, we say that slavery is bad, although we know, unfortunately, that millions of people are being trafficked still. But if we think about slavery or being owned by another, then suddenly we need to think about how we treat working animals. You know, we have animals that we use in sport, you know, hunting dogs. We have those that are used in research or testing, or we use them to teach. There are animals that are used for entertainment, for companionship. There's specialized work, you know, for example, you know, dolphins that are used to detect mines or patrol harbors, dogs that are used to detect drugs or cancers. So where are their rights in this?
Right.
We don't ask them if they want to do this. Some of them, by behavior, appear to enjoy what they do. But we were talking before the break about, so do they get vacations? If they're having an off day, you know, can they opt out? I'm thinking like of the dogs that are used in the airports to patrol for drugs. Could they just say, no thanks? Or the canine crew with the police. And then what happens, you were talking about the draft horses, but all too often the animals, the idea of compensating animals for their work doesn't come up. Yes, they're fed, they're housed, but that's like the kind of the tied cottages, you know, of the old mine workers, that kind of thing. What about money that's saved towards their retirement so that they can live, you know, in a pleasant environment and be well taken care of instead of being viewed as a burden on society? This is a kind of thinking that I think it can get challenging, that we need to really raise some questions about.
Well, we also, you know, that in particular of slavery or being owned by another, I think of birds in a cage. I mean, that's just so unnatural. And there's so many points we highlighted in this conversation about your own community, your own natural environment. But a bird in a cage and a snake, I also think of snakes that live in aquariums. I just think how unnatural and what is that for? There's obviously no sort of, I don't think that there's much reciprocation between the snake and its owner. It's odd. It seems to be something for one's ego, or it seems to say, I've got this exotic animal, you know.
Right. Or the environment that I live in, there's a beautiful sound, and it used to be highly polluted, and as the pollution has receded, the dolphins and whales have come back. And now there are these debates about tanker traffic going through the sound from mills and, you know, on up the coast. And they talk about the possibility of oil spills or that kind of thing. But nobody talks about the impact on the cetaceans of the noise in the water, of the pollution in terms of the cetaceans. They talk about it in terms of humans, but not in terms of the cetaceans. And one of the rights of the cetaceans ought to be, I think, the ability to live in their own natural habitat, which is this sound, and have clean water and no noise pollution. But yeah. People don't think about it that way.
Right. It really forces us to expand our mind, right? To consider a new way of approaching our day-to-day living. And what does this world look like? And what do we support with our actions? Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there have been some work, you know, on torture and experimentation, but we still have a ways to go. And I just want people to be aware that there are initiatives that have been started. In 2010, a group of scientists started this Declaration of Rights for Cetaceans. In 1992, Switzerland issued its Declaration of Animals as Beings, Not Things. New Zealand has given rights to great apes. Germany has given some rights to animals, but you can see it's still spotty. It's not a consistent thing. And so this evolution of our relationship, as I mentioned before, from exploiting to protecting, but protecting for our own use, to really viewing other species as relatives of ours, as persons who are beyond use, and that our role is as guardians of a shared environment as opposed to protecting for our own use. I think it takes a lot of, I mean, I've been thinking about this for a lot, and I have difficulties. So I just invite people to really engage with these issues.
Well, fine work, and what a wonderful conversation. You know, it takes people like yourself, and I think of that film Blackfish, you know, and what it was about, the orca whales at SeaWorld, and what an impact that had. And it was as if people just never considered it. They just didn't look beyond their own fascination and their own entertainment, and they thought, oh, you know, I'm supporting these whales by going to SeaWorld, and I appreciate them, and I'm going to buy the whale, stuffed whale, and I'm celebrating them. Not at all. These whales are depressed and unhappy, and it takes conversation, and it takes us to consider, you know, points like this, and consider goodwill and pioneers to bring it to our attention and to force us to, yes, once again, and that isn't that Dorothy, right? It's the notion of goodwill, to think beyond yourself, you know, stretch your mind and understand the implications of your actions. And beyond that, you know, can you even go beyond it and look way outside yourself? So wonderful conversation. Nice.
I just want to mention quickly another movie, and this one was done by the non-human rights project called Unlocking the Cage. And it's gotten several awards, I think, at Sundance and others. And it's telling the story about gaining legal personhood rights for non-human persons.
Oh, I'll have to look at that. Unlocking the Cage, you say?
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. And another one, Planetary. Another wonderful documentary on seeing the Earth as a living being. Planetary, Blackfish, and Unlocking the Cage. There's your homework, listeners. Wonderful conversation, Dorothy. So I look forward to it. We will continue this conversation and talk about ways that you can bring goodwill into your life, daily actions. What can you do to exercise goodwill and make it a part of your day today? And we'll continue the conversation. I look forward to it. Thanks so much. And listeners, again, send us your comments or questions to spiritfireradio@spiritfire.com and take a look at our wonderful work, esotericstudies.net, correct?
Yes.
And spiritfire.com. Those are our efforts towards goodwill. Dorothy, I will see you next week. It's been wonderful.
Yes. Take care, everyone.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Spirit Fire Radio. Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern for your weekly guide to purposeful living and practical spirituality. Join hosts Steve Kramer and Dorothy Riddle as they shine the light on universal spiritual principles and uncover ways that ageless wisdom can guide you in cultivating consciousness in your everyday life. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. To learn more, visit spiritfireradio.com.